This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is just after 12 o'clock, which means it's time for Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I have in the studio with me
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
Of course, we're going to be with you all the way till about 1 o'clock this afternoon. We do have a question for you. The question is, what we're asking is, did the latest stimulus package have any impact on you? Let us know so we can have a discussion. The number is 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. This is, of course, because the Prime Minister on Friday, the 27th, announced the largest economic stimulus package to date, with 250 billion ringgit to be channeled towards supporting people and businesses grappling with the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. The package, dubbed as Package Prihatin, includes 128 billion ringgit for welfare programs, 100 billion ringgit to support businesses, including small and medium enterprises. It's meant to assist those who are most adversely impacted by the economic disruption from the COVID-19 outbreak. Some highlights to take note of: 500 million ringgit was allocated for the health ministry to ramp up their capability and resources.
Yes, and the national caring aid, which is Bantuan Prihatin National, involving one-off cash payment of 10 billion ringgit, will be given to the B40 and M40 groups, including private workers, farmers and fishermen. This includes 1,600 ringgit to 4 million households earning 4,000 and below, 1,000 ringgit for households earning 4,000 and above, and 800 ringgit for single Malaysians aged 21 and above earning 2,000 ringgit and below, 500 ringgit for single Malaysians aged 21 and above earning 2,000 ringgit and 4,000 ringgit.
And the government, together with TNB, will add an allocation of 530 million ringgit for discounts between 15% and 50% for electricity usage up to a maximum of 600 kilowatts a month for 6 months from the April bill.
The government will introduce a wage subsidy of 600 ringgit a month for 3 months for employers with a 50% drop in business since January the 1st, for workers with a salary below 4,000 ringgit. Now, we did manage to speak with Patrick Tay, economics and policy lead at PwC Malaysia, to get his thoughts on this new stimulus package. Patrick, on Friday, we spoke about some of the things that were announced before this package. Can we get your thoughts on this new package, Prihatin, and how it compares to the previous packages?
Well, the first item to get over is just the sheer size of it. So, complete package, 250 billion, but that built on the earlier package, but still a very large liquidity stimulus. The actual fiscal stimulus itself was a lot smaller. I think various people have thought through the numbers and acknowledge that it's around 25 billion from fiscal, but the liquidity injection into the market is still very significant at 250 billion.
What about the SMEs, Patrick? Like, are there any assistance for them in this package?
There is a bit. I know a lot of SMEs are variously unhappy. Some of them are reasonably happy with this. But let's have a look at why and what is in it for them. So first and foremost, like I said, the liquidity issue. So it addresses two things. One, it kind of removes the headache of, you know, like, am I going to default on my loans immediately, right? Because there's a loan moratorium. And the loan moratorium actually would remove a lot of cash outgoings to the banks. It doesn't make them go away. And I guess that's where a lot of the source of unhappiness is, because the SMEs are saying that they don't have income coming in. The other measure that's in there is a bit around the wage subsidy, 600 ringgit wage subsidy. Last but not least, and I think quite important not to forget, this liquidity injection will get the economy going again once we lift the MCO, once we get over this COVID issue, whether it's in 2 weeks with the extension or whether it's the end of April, as some people think might be needed. But the third one is quite important because the liquidity means there's a lot of money back in the economy to spend.
Right. I mean, like you said, there are some SME groups who have voiced their disappointment in the new package as they feel left out. Why do you think those measurements that you mentioned that could assist SMEs isn't good enough for the majority of local businesses?
Well, it's quite understandable if you think about it. If you put yourself into their shoes, and here they are, you know, like with a cost base that is probably at least 30 to 60% made up of salaries, and they have no income coming in. They may also have the chain effect of some of their upstream customers, meaning their customers, you know, also looking at how to stem at cash outflows. So when you're put into that sort of situation, I think, you know, it's quite understandable why you would be sitting there, and when you look at the package, thinking, hey, but this doesn't sort my immediate issue, which is I've got to pay monthly salaries of, you know, like 10, 20, 30, 100 employees, and I've got no income coming in to pay that. So that's the reason why some of the SMEs are feeling like there's nothing in there for them.
Patrick, whilst we can't necessarily compare our stimulus package to the ones announced in Singapore and Hong Kong, what would be the areas the Malaysian government should look into with the capacity and reserves that we have?
So I think, you know, again, I come back to, first of all, what has been done is helpful. What has been done has injected a lot of liquidity into the market. Now, getting to the point of what the SMEs want, I guess they are saying that, you know, some of us may not have the reserves to be able to withstand. And in our own minds, if I put myself in their shoes, you know, I think the easiest thing for me to do is to let people go. So what the government needs to do is to need to listen beyond the rhetoric and the fear of anguish and the cries for help, to actually listen carefully to what is the underlying fundamental issue that the SMEs are facing and that they need help with. Now, if I understand it correctly, if you think about it, what the SMEs are saying is that I've got a loss of income that I need, you know, to have, otherwise, you know, I'll have to let people go. So I think that's where they are looking at, you know, some of the packages around the world where the government has decided to variously help, you know, like between 25% up to about 75, even 90% of the wages of the workers. Now, can Malaysian government afford to do that? We can't if we want to maintain fiscal discipline. If we want to maintain fiscal discipline, the amounts that we are talking about here would be very significant. If you just do a quick maths, even if you don't target all the workers and you say 10 million of the workers, a 1,000 a month subsidy would be 10 billion a month. 6 months would be 60 billion, right? 10 million workers, 1,000 a month. So, you know, we can't if we want to maintain fiscal discipline. I've seen a few articles where various leaders, former leaders, have asked us to dip into our savings to do so. And technically and theoretically, we could dip into our savings. That's what Singapore has done, is dip into its reserves that was built. Is now the right time to do that? I'm not so sure.
Patrick, finally, what would your advice or message be for the entrepreneurs that are facing these challenges at this moment?
So, again, I come back to, I think, you know, like, there are measures to help SMEs, but the immediate measure is to help the most vulnerable in society and to inject a lot of liquidity. First and foremost, we need to get over COVID and we need to get the movement control ordinance lifted, but we can't get it lifted until we've got COVID under control. Once we do that, the liquidity will flood into the market, will be there for spending, and that's when the SMEs can start to see their incomes, cash flows come in again. So what I would advise, you know, like, make the best use of the loan deferments and the sort of like credit, microcredit schemes and loan guarantees that are all in the $250 billion package. Look at the business. If it makes sense to right-size, then do right-size the business. But don't be over-hasty, because what you will find is that if and when economic activity resumes, you may lack the staff or the talent to actually take advantage of that if you let too many people go too soon. So I think, you know, like, take the opportunity of the $250 billion package to buy yourself a bit of time, to do a bit of strategizing. And, you know, like, once we get over the COVID issue, once we lift the movement control ordinance, be in a position to take advantage of the liquidity that's in the market.
That was Patrick Tay, economics and policy lead over at PwC Malaysia. We were getting his thoughts on the new stimulus package. Of course, we've got to take a break in just a moment, but we are asking you, did the latest stimulus package have any impact on you? Do let us know. 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram will be at BFM Radio. We're going to give some feedback regarding some WhatsApp messages we've had and some tweets. We're back in just a couple of minutes. BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Viraj
and Christine Wong.
Of course, we have been asking, did the latest stimulus package have any impact on you? Do let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. That is a text-only number, please. Don't call that number, of course. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Arv, you want to go to Twitter first?
Yeah, so we have messages from Farid Noh, who says, nothing for pre-revenue startups. Benji82 says, not much. I prefer to go back to work ASAP. And Diane Lee says, somewhat, the moratorium is a relief, but frankly does not help with maintaining staff in the company.
And on Instagram, we have Niap Shin with no, Gwen O with nil, zero, nada, and Yi Ling Lim with not at all. But we also have a Snake Solid US who says, not really, but totally understood for it to help the less fortunate, which I think is more towards, like, I guess, the B40.
That's right. Okay, just a few minutes ago, of course, we did speak with Patrick Tay, economics and policy lead at PwC Malaysia. We spoke last week to Jennifer Ong from the Happer Group about their wish list for the new stimulus package. The Happer Group, of course, is involved in the training, events and media management for the hospitality, F&B and tourism industries. Jennifer has been vocal about the plight of SMEs during this time, and she's on the line previously. Jan, thanks for joining us. Now, let's start with your initial reaction to the stimulus announcement by the PM and how your group of industry players took the news.
What is our reaction to the stimulus package? I guess, you know, judging by the response we hear from our members and colleagues in the industry, and as well as what we see in social media for the last couple of days since the announcement, I think it's fair to say that there is widespread disappointment. You know, the stimulus package has not addressed the fundamental issues that this pandemic has and will bring about, right? I mean, the immediate needs of SMEs were not included in the stimulus package. I mean, a lot more could have been done to facilitate the relevant industries, and particularly the F&B industry, and of course the hospitality and tourism sectors as well, right? And I guess the fact of the matter is that unless the structural issues are addressed, right, with respect to supporting and shoring up the employers, the stimulus package as it is will only be a short-term solution. People in business will know fundamentally when there's no employers, there's no work. And when there's no work, there's absolutely no jobs, right? So the question we need to ask ourselves is this. Now, what would happen if that scenario came to pass? It's so critical, right? And this is why we feel that it is best for the government to address this structural deficit now. We have to act fast. We need to be able to help the industry to survive so that the industry can help the people to hold on to their jobs. And so these people can then in turn help the country to recover. You know, it has to be a symbiotic relationship.
Jen, what was insufficient? Like, what was lacking?
Well, we don't think it is a matter of being sufficient or lacking. It is about the SME businesses that have been left behind. We think it's a good effort from the government to give subsidy to the rakyat. I mean, however, giving a one-time off handout is short-term. So, you know, we're all wondering now, after May, what happens? Many businesses would have either folded or being in the process of closing. And that would mean a massive, massive loss of jobs in the country. Now, I think it's fair for us to say that the stimulus package announced is very rakyat-centric. The needs of the industry, the needs of the SMEs, which have to be present post-pandemic, have not been addressed sufficiently. Well, let's take, for example, about 205,000 F&B establishments. They generate an annual gross revenue of about 103.2 billion ringgit, right? And this sector employs some 1.03 million people and incurring an annual wage cost of 14.58 billion ringgit. Now, can you imagine a scenario where 50% of these businesses go under, resulting in a loss of employment of, say, about 500,000 workers? Now, how in the world are these new and unemployed going to survive, let alone live? So, you know, we feel that the government could have done more for the SMEs, especially the F&B, hospitality and tourism industries. These sectors are eco-related. We all are aware that when there is no tourists, there's no business. Now, particularly for the tourism and the nightlife businesses, of which these industries contribute significantly towards the tax revenues of the government. Well, we guess it's not too late. The government can definitely reconsider adjusting the stimulus package to address all these imbalances.
So, do you feel that the voice of SMEs are being heard at this time?
Do we feel the voice of SMEs is being heard? Well, yes and no. You know, SMEs are generators of jobs, and we know that. They are the backbone of our economy. Can you imagine if there is a collapse of SMEs, right? And particularly the F&B industry, the hospitality industry, the tourism industry. Now, that will impact the employment rate significantly. And what would that mean? We're going to see a lot of people on the streets as they'll be out of jobs, right? And then what? Would that be another stimulus package from the government for handouts again, right? How long can this cycle go on for? The government needs to understand that SMEs are the experts in generating sustainable wages for rakyat. Right, they have been the ones who have been providing a sense of security for employees. And now that the government has robbed that ability from SMEs, how in the world can these business owners continue to pay wages? How can the government insist that these business owners continue to pay full wages when their ability in generating income has been taken away? We will see a lot of SME owners having to be forced to close. And they will, trust us, they will. They will unplug their businesses from Malaysia. They have no choice, right? I mean, yes, we need to address the immediate situation. But, you know, we also need to have an eye on the post-pandemic scenario. Yes, we need to give the rakyat fish now. But we also need to ensure that there will be businesses post-pandemic that will manufacture fishing equipment to enable to rakyat to fish for themselves. The problem right now with the crisis is that SMEs do not have the cash flow to sustain salaries, rentals, utilities, SST for the next few months with the MCO in place. Right? God knows, you know, if the MCO will be even extended further. So I guess, you know, the government needs to step in now before that happens. There are many, many avenues to support the SMEs, right? For example, the government can consider to give directives to HRDF to release some funds back to the companies so that it can help them ease their cash flow. Right. And with all these things happening, you know, people are going into depression. And like I've said in my other interviews, it's not the virus that will kill the rakyat. It is going to be their mental state. It's the stress. It's the anxiety. It's the fear. It's the uncertainties of losing a business which you've spent years building, or an employee losing a job. Now that will kill the rakyat. So the government can consider releasing funds even for programs such as upskilling, mental health programs, anything that can help both the SME operators as well as employees to keep themselves intact so that they can continue to fight this war, to fight this virus.
Just before we let you go, Jen, how do we move forward now? What do businesses need to do to prepare post-MCO?
Well, to this end, we think SME business owners and entrepreneurs need to start focusing on the evolution of their businesses. Of course, we will indeed continue to lobby for government's assistance and intervention, but we also need to ensure the survival of our businesses. Every crisis will always cause us to evolve. We now need to shift our mindsets to focus on how are we going to get our employees back to speed when the MCO is lifted. We need to train our best soldiers, right, so that they will be skilled enough to fight the post-MCO war for us to avoid any extinction of our businesses. We need to rebuild the confidence in ourselves and our employees. And we need to remove the fear in us, and we need to trust our very own entrepreneurial instincts that we will be able to recover soon, sooner than expected. I guess, you know, the survival of the industry are in the hands of the business owners and the entrepreneurs, because it is the resilience of these entrepreneurs that will take the industry out of this crisis, right? I mean, this too will pass, and we shall all come out leaner, maybe, yeah, but definitely stronger. So, and our last word here to the government, the F&B, hospitality, tourism industry, SME owners, we're all awaiting for more positive news. Thank you.
Jennifer Ong there from the Happer Group talking about their wish list for the new stimulus package. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back when we manage to speak with the StarHub Chieftain Fong Wai Hong. That's all coming up in just a few minutes. Music to take us into the break, though. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Ibraj
and Christine Wong.
We'll be with you for another half an hour or so. If you'd like to contribute to our conversation, we're asking whether or not this stimulus package has actually affected you, has an impact on you. You can get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Now, at break, of course, we're going to have an update from the FBM KLCI, courtesy of Arv.
Yeah, it is down by 1.29% by 1,325 points. Active stocks include MLab Systems Berhad, Vortex Consolidated Berhad, and CarePlus Group Berhad. A quick look at the ringgit, it is at 4.3 against the US dollar, 4.8 against the euro, 5.3 against the pound, and 2.6 against the Aussie dollar.
Okay, of course, we have been catching up with some of the people behind the SME business, businesses, and it seems as though a lot of these people are not so happy with the stimulus package. It's not really been looking towards SMEs. Very good for the most of the rakyat, but for small and medium enterprises, of course, most people are not so happy about it. We did manage to catch up with StarHub Chieftain Fong Wai Hong, who's been working through the night since the MCO started to provide F&B business owners the option to take their businesses online overnight with StarHub's Beep delivery feature. Wai Hong, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. First up, how do you feel about this Prihatin stimulus package?
Great for short-term cash flow, but for the majority of the population, I think there's going to be insufficient support for SMEs. So how are we going to be dealing with the expected tsunami of unemployment that results from businesses closing down?
Why is this just a short-term fix?
I guess similar to how the MCO was announced on seemingly thin consideration, this package did not seem like it was done with enough thought and a detailed understanding of what are the implications of the coming months. Basically, SMEs and businesses will close down in droves because the support rendered to them to keep staff employed isn't even close to enough, given that the majority of businesses are now doing anywhere from 0 to 20% of revenue that they had before. So we really need to seriously consider not just how to put money in people's hands today, but how to keep them working tomorrow.
Wai Hong, do you feel that SMEs are really being thought of here? I mean, do you feel that your voices are being heard?
Definitely not. I think a lot more needs to be done to support SMEs who hire the majority of the population. On a personal level, I feel particularly sad about the threat that all this poses to our food culture, you know, which is one of our shared Malaysian prides. And we're already seeing restaurants closing down now, and that will not slow down as SMEs run out their 20 days or so of cash reserves. So it's really quite sad.
So for now, what can SMEs do to survive in this period? Have you seen any small businesses that are taking upon themselves to be more viable during this period?
So entrepreneurs and business owners, they really need to innovate and change their business model immediately. You know, the clear patterns that we've observed are that the businesses that are doing well, they've adopted online super fast and they have a great social media game. You know, they're posting Instagram stories, they're crafting really creative images of themselves in their stores, with their food, and they're just running Facebook live sessions to engage with their audience. On our side, we've been amazed at the level of success that some of our stores have experienced by turning on StoreHub's beep delivery feature, which allows their customers to buy directly from them online and have the food either delivered or ready for takeaway. You know, some of these customers are even recording all-time sales records as high as 7,000 ringgit a day. That's even better than anything they've done in the pre-COVID days, which is just crazy, right? So while these still remain the minority of businesses out there, I mean, the successful ones, the ones who are really doing it right, I think there's a massive opportunity for those other businesses who are hungry and adaptable to not just weather the storm, but to thrive in it if they can innovate, adopt online super fast, and actually really work on their social media game.
I think that's something I've been seeing an awful lot of is people upping their social media game to a point where it's become one of the highlights of my day, where I'm scrolling through some of the stuff. You know, some of the stories that I'm seeing on Instagram, mm-hmm. you know, like the daily updates and whatnot from some of these entrepreneurs, particularly the food entrepreneurs, mm. and some of the stuff that they're doing. And people just sharing the stuff that they're cooking.
Yep.
And then you're seeing like these little entrepreneurs picking up on that idea and like, oh, people are not getting bread. How can we get bread to these people? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're pointing at all these different mm-hmm. stores and stuff. Wonderful.
Especially the whole Dalgona coffee thing has helped yeah. a lot of people like sort of hop on that bandwagon. It's given them like a platform to show what they can do with their recipes and how they can tweak with that sort of formula and what mm. they can put out, you know, while people at home and stuff.
Yeah. Mm. And I think it's also about, you know, fostering the sense of community as well. You know, if especially a lot of these food businesses can say like, we're all in this together mm. and we're still getting our products to you, you know, no matter what, and we're looking forward to when this is all over and you can come back to our outlets, you know, to sort of support that idea of we're all in this together and we're all a community and we'll return to normalcy mm. soon, but for mm-hmm. now we can communicate with each other and be close through these sort of like story challenges, Dalgona coffee things, drawing challenges I've seen on Insta yeah. story and participated in some of them as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really great.
I mean, there's also part of me as well that when the MCO is lifted and we see that kind of tsunami of people wanting to get back outside and wanting mm. to go to their local restaurant and whatever, I'm kind of really looking forward to seeing how that happens, and you know, just that moment of freedom of being yeah. outdoors and just sitting around and having coffee at your local coffee
having,
place,
having like communal experiences.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, as much as it's okay working from home, mm. I miss being around people.
I miss being outside.
Yeah.
Take it
away. For those of you that want to contribute, 0187898899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram is at BFM Radio. One message here from Aaron Raj, who says they're an engineering device company, repair and services. They haven't had any invoices billed in March, and they need to support 15 skilled staff. It must be difficult, Aaron. We are going to keep asking for people's suggestions and how it might have impacted on their business. Do let us know. Music coming up now. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be speaking about Fave. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.